Good evening. You're listening to News Views here on WPFW. My name's Garland Nixon, and I am here with
Mark Levine.
Yeah, Mark, it's been
a while. It's good to be back.
Yeah,
it's good
to be back. I think it was like July or something.
No, it's August.
Oh, okay. Were you like up in the space station or something like
Something like that. If I told you, I'd have to kill you. I can't tell you those things.
You'd have to stand in line.
But I guarantee the NSA knows, so we're okay.
Little question about that. Okay, there isn't a whole lot that they don't know. But we've got a great show. We're going to talk about WPFW and what we need to do to keep all the shows great. And we got lots of interesting things to discuss.
Like the government may be shut down.
Yes, that's possible.
Next week.
At any rate, the show is called News Views on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. I'm here, Garland Nixon here, and Mark and I. Mark is my, sometimes he's my one-person panel, and then other times we have other people. We've got another great guest coming in today, going to be in today. And, of course, we're going to talk to you about what we need to do to keep WPFW going. But lots of things happening. If you are way out there in the middle of nowhere and you can't quite get its signal and it's kind of scratchy and, you know, you really want to hear it, if we know you want to hear it, just go to WPFW.org. It's live online. Also, we post our shows after. The shows are posted afterwards.
If you go to my website, marklevinetalk.com, you can hear basically every show that Garland and I have done dating back like 7 years. So you can search for a topic.
And let me throw something out there before we get. We're running a little late, but I do have to throw this out there and let people know so you'll know what's happening at News Views. Mark and I, a few months ago, before the George Zimmerman trial, before the findings of the trial, actually before the trial, we had Kevin Cobble, an attorney from Florida. He is the attorney for a woman named Marissa Alexander. She was...
At the time, no one had heard of her case at all.
Yeah, it hadn't hit national news
yet. It really
hadn't. I just happened to find it on the back page of somewhere and read the story, and I called his office, and he said he'd come on.
Let's remind people what Marissa Alexander was
charged
with.
Marissa Alexander was basically... She was charged in Florida. She tried... Basically, her husband, who had beaten her up, abused her, broken her nose, was threatening her. She had a gun. She felt she was cornered. She shot the wall to scare him. She did not shoot him. She did not harm any person. She was arrested. She was prosecuted by the same exact person who was the prosecutor in the Trayvon Martin trial.
And she claimed self-defense under Florida's
stand your ground law. They threw that down.
But Marissa Alexander
got 20 years.
Is black.
Yes,
you forgot to mention that important distinction.
She got 20 years for actually... but at any rate, she got 20 years for that, and we discussed it here. We started
because it made no sense compared to the
for shooting a wall.
Martin case. She shot a wall. Trayvon Martin shot a human being and killed him. Mm-hmm. And not Trayvon Martin. George Zimmerman shot a human being and killed Trayvon Martin
and walked away.
And she got 20 years for shooting a wall.
And so we started here in D.C. We were really Mark and I. We kind of broke the story nationally because it wasn't anywhere else. And then the next thing you know, it was in the major mainstream news. And guess what? She's getting a new trial.
That's the news today.
Yes,
big news.
Breaking news. She's getting a new trial. Apparently, it was ruled that something to do with the way the judge charged the jurors.
They probably didn't charge Stand Your Ground correctly.
Right. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it may be, but look it up, Google it. I think it may be that he didn't tell them that they could find her guilty of a lesser charge or something like that. But at any rate, it doesn't matter. She's getting a new trial. And let's just hope this one, there's some justice here. She didn't hurt anybody, but she was hurt by the person who she feared. So at any rate, we're going to have
when you compare the two cases, I mean, there's no Trayvon Martin had never met George Zimmerman in his life, and she had reason to fear because this guy had been convicted of hitting her, beating her in the past. So.
Yeah, and so you have a guy who is in Florida, a white guy, shoots a black kid who's armed and running from him, and he walks away, and then you have an African-American woman who shoots nobody but a wall in fear of a person who had, in fact, previously injured her and put her in the hospital. She had had a baby 9 days before that incident, so she certainly wasn't in a physical condition to protect herself, and she got 20 years. So at any rate, we got Joel Siegel on the line here. We're going to talk about Middle East peace rally just coming up. But first, let me just tell you this. Is Joel there? You there, Joel?
Hey, Garland, Mark, great to hear your voice.
Can you turn Joel up here a little bit? Here, maybe I don't have enough volume. But at any rate,
I hear him.
Hear him loud and clear? Okay. At any rate, we're going to talk to Joel. They're having a Middle East peace rally. But before we start, let me just tell you this. WPFW is, we're right now, we're in a temporary studio. Nice little studio, but a temporary studio. And certainly, you know, you listen to WPFW, you hear breaking stories like that. You hear Mark and I on here every week.
You hear the story of Marissa Alexander before the mainstream media gets it.
So we could talk about whatever. We're going to talk about talk about Middle East peace today. That's another issue that, you know, a lot of people are afraid to, you know, the mainstream media. There are politicians that are afraid to touch it because of, you know, it can be radioactive. But we'll talk about anything here because we talk about
including things that are radioactive.
Right. You're right, because we are discussing things.
Because we're on radio and we're active.
That's right. And we're discussing things, and we do not have a political or a financial tie to any corporation or anyone who's going to say you can't talk about this. So today, even talking to Joel, you'll probably hear some things that maybe you won't hear other people discuss. You'll hear some things in discussion you're not going to hear in the mainstream media about the Israeli-Palestinian situation and the road to peace. Not backwards, but the road to peace. How do we get there from here? At any rate, we'd like to ask you to help us out. The number here is 202-588-9739. That's 202-588-9739. Or 1-800-222-9739. If you enjoy News Views, well, you know, be honest, even if you don't like it, but I don't imagine you'd be listening to it otherwise, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to deprive anybody of the opportunity to help us.
People like it. They may not agree with you or me, but that doesn't mean they don't
but,
like it.
But whoever, whatever the case may be, call in, and if you would be so kind as to mention News Views and to mention that, you know, you do like the show and you enjoy it and you'd like to support the show. We've got a great event coming up. I'll tell you about a little bit later with Willie Jolly and the jazz diva Janine Gilbert Carter that we'd like you to attend. And we're going to talk to you about that a little bit later. But right now we're going to start our show. Joel Siegel, I understand that there is a – do we have Joel?
We lost Joel.
We lost Joel.
Well, Joel, please call back. Why don't you tell him a little bit about who Joel is? Because Garland and I have been working with Joel for several years now.
He's there. We got him again? Yeah. All right, he's back. Are you there, Joel?
Joel Siegel there. Hi.
Joel Siegel, a man who was on Capitol
Hill. The man, the myth.
Yes, he was on Capitol Hill for many years. A man who really was at the forefront, who I would say to some extent started the whole universal health care movement. A man who I happen to know at times when...
we call him Mr. Medicare for All.
That's right. I happen to know at times that when the ACA, when the Obamacare was actually dead in Congress, and Joel kind of worked behind the scenes and revived it. And I truly believe in my heart that if Joel hadn't been up there, that Obamacare, the ACA, would not be alive today, and as a result, a whole lot of people will be alive today. A guy who was behind PEPFAR and the AIDS for Africa, the AIDS medicine for Africa. So here's a guy who understands how to get things done, who understands how to build a movement. And Joel is a man who's Jewish. And who feels as though, looking forward, he wants the Palestinians and the Jewish people of Israel to be able to live safely, to sleep with no rockets coming in, to sleep with no bulldozers coming in, to go to bed every night and say, you know, we don't have to worry because there is no fighting anymore, and we can move forward and live our lives as normal people. And I know there are a lot of people there. And Joel, first of all, tell us about your event and tell us what's happening. What's happening with the event and how, you know, what time people need to be there and where it is and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that was a very wonderful introduction. You made me blush there, Garland. I was fortunate to have worked with, you know, so many different activists and members of Congress and celebrities and staffers who were serious about global AIDS in Africa and universal health care. But the lessons of those movements is that change comes from the bottom up, not top down. And we have a very important rally that's going to be on Tuesday, October the 1st, from 5:30 to 8 o'clock, right in front of the White House, Lafayette Park. This will be a rally in support of peace between Israel and Palestine. It'll be a rally in support of Israelis and Palestinian peace activists who will be speaking at the event, who've been working for, you know, years on this issue. And we're going to support the president, and we're going to support the Senator Kerry, because it's the far right wing, both in Congress and the hardliners outside of Congress, that are going to go after him with a vengeance because he supports a Palestinian state and a safe and secure Israel. This is an unprecedented coalition of students, academics, members of Congress, peace leaders inside of Israel and Palestine, outside of it, Harriet Fulbright, Marcia Dyson, with guest musician Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary is going to perform a concert. So it's a rally and a vigil for peace, and we're going to do them on a regular basis, so there's civil society pressure on hardliners who oppose peace, so we can actually get a peace deal and the Palestinians and Israelis can live in peace and harmony.
Well, I want to ask you a question, something that you said in a discussion that you and I had off air, and that was the importance that a lot of people, a lot of times the argument is over the details of the settlement, the details of who gets what and what land and 67 borders, all these kind of things are discussed. But one of the things you said was the importance of having a movement before you get to the argument and the details, a grassroots movement of people that say, we want peace, and this is the right thing to do. Explain what you mean when you say, before you get to all the details of any settlements, you have to the importance of having people there, of having people, you know, behind it, and having a movement.
Sure.
Building a moral case, as it were.
Yeah, I mean, diplomats and the negotiators who've written book after book about the peace process between Israel and Palestine have all made one very central salient point, and that's that unless there is moral pressure by civil society on the parties at the table, at the negotiating table, the negotiations will most likely fail. And I became very close friends with Ambassador Afif Safiya of the PLO, and he wrote a book about this. And you have to have moral pressure, especially on hardliners, because what will happen is, if they feel like they don't have to negotiate in good faith with the other party because they're in a position of power and there's no pressure on them in the media, there's no pressure by Congress, there's no pressure by civil society leaders, they'll do the wrong thing and they'll capitulate to the lowest forms of values like power and money and greed and ego. And this time around, it's going to be a whole different situation. That's why we're launching this unprecedented movement, never been done before. And instead of Palestinians and Israelis being shown in the media as disagreeing with each other, we're going to have Palestinians and Israelis saying, no, we support a two-state solution. We support a negotiated historic land for peace compromise. We support both Israelis and Palestinians, you know, with a new future. And that's what's exciting about this campaign and this launch is inside and outside of Israel. It is highly coordinated. We have a director, Chuck Dumbaugh, who is our national director, who's been at this for decades, a leader in peace around the world. Eric Fulbright is our chairperson. We've got students involved, and this time around, we're going to be seen and heard in the media. And when people want to do the wrong thing, we're going to go rally right in front of the White House, do candlelight vigils, go into the press, and make sure that it's a fair peace, especially for the Palestinians, because historically, they have gotten the raw end of the deal. They have. They are negotiating in good faith. Mahmoud Abbas made a great speech in front of the United Nations, the leader of the Palestinian Authority, and you know they want peace. And now we have to support the moderates instead of the hardliners.
See, to me, the difficulty is that the hardliners, they have it easy. The status quo supports the hardliners. Frankly, Mahmoud Abbas reminds me, and you may disagree with this, Joel, but he reminds me a lot of John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, in that I think if he had his way, he could actually negotiate. But he doesn't have his way. He is controlled or at least pressured by his hard line on the right so that he can't really make a deal that says, all right, we'll take 97% of what we want and go home. And so if you can help support the moderates by saying, look, no side is going to get everything they want. Period. But both sides have to compromise some. Frankly, this is the kind of thing I want to tell the Tea Party activists as well, that you can get a lot of what you want, but you can't get everything you want. And that's true of both Israel and the Palestinian Authority. And then I think we can get somewhere. I think if both sides think they're going to get everything they want, there will never be a deal.
Go ahead.
No, and Mark raised a very, as always, very astute and salient point. I would just, you know, offer a slightly different perspective. Mahmoud Abbas is actually in a very strong bargaining position because President Obama and Senator Kerry agree with the Palestinian Authority's plan and the Arab League plan, which mirrors the Israeli Peace Initiative, which are the progressives in Israel. And that's a two-state solution with 1967 borders, modified land swaps, so that I think it's something like 22 or 23% of historical Palestine would be the Palestinian state. In fact, Mahmoud Abbas has been so moderate that he's often criticized by some of the Palestinian people by being too, you know, too generous. And it's actually Netanyahu and the Israeli Likud government that needs to really be pressured, because they time and time again send out mixed signals. They say they're for a two-state solution, but not if it includes East Jerusalem. Well, East Jerusalem is a very integral part of the Palestinian culture and Palestinian history. They've got very significant historical religious sites there. East Jerusalem, for hundreds of years, was a center of culture for the Palestinian people. It's already Palestinian.
And, well, not all of East Jerusalem, Joel. I mean, certainly the Jews have been the majority population in the Old City for hundreds of years, long before Israel became a state. So it's certainly not all of East Jerusalem.
Right.
Parts of East Jerusalem, you're absolutely right about.
Yeah, in 67, East Jerusalem was basically annexed by the Israeli government. But under the 48, I don't want to get too too into the wonky stuff and policy.
Right.
But that's okay. I mean, but for clarification, the 1948 partition of Israel by the United Nations, of Palestine, it did not include Jerusalem.
Right, it made Jerusalem international.
And let me, Joel, my question is this, in my humble opinion, when it all comes down to it, you know, that kind of could be the deciding factor. I mean, there may be other things that can be ironed out, but do you feel, I'll ask you and Mark, do you feel that East Jerusalem is the one
that's
going to be the
question.
Stumbling block?
Absolutely. Joel and I, and I love Joel Siegel, and I've worked with him, as he knows, on healthcare and AIDS in Africa. Well, I haven't worked on that issue, but I strongly support what Joel does 99% of the time. He and I had a great debate on, I remember, Ben's Next Door.
As
part of the Raucous Caucus. On this issue, and I've always felt the right answer is to, whenever two people have a dispute, to give to one person what everyone agrees that one person has, give the other person whatever agrees that the other person has, and then continue to dispute over the small stuff in the middle. I actually think that if you exclude Jerusalem, which I know is the main thing, but if we just set Jerusalem aside for a second, as you say, Garland, that actually the boundaries could pretty much be drawn. There'll be some differences, but I would argue that Israel already offered more than 90% of the West Bank, just 10 years ago. So we are fighting over the details. I say give them that. Israel's ready to give them that, declare a Palestinian state. Now we have a two-state solution, and they're still going to disagree about Jerusalem. You know, India and Pakistan have been two states since 1948. They disagree over Kashmir,
At
least there
region.
Are two states. They're never going to agree on Kashmir, frankly,
right.
But they at least have two existing states, and I support a Palestinian state. I have my differences perhaps on Jerusalem, and we can talk about which parts of Jerusalem, because I think you can even get into the micro. I don't think the Jews are ever going to give up the Western Wall, their holiest site that's 2,000 years old. I think that if there, the best way to have a solution, and I think to have really good ties between Arabs and Israelis, to have them actually is to make a Palestinian state on the 90% everyone can agree on. And then I'm not saying they have to give up the 10%, but at least you cut down the areas of disagreement to a smaller level.
What do you think about that, Joel? Mark's saying here.
And by the way, I love Mark as well. And Mark, we're both Jews. We're both
right, and we've argued about this before.
we're both moderate, whatever, progressives. Both very pro-Israel, but pro-Palestinian in terms of the state. The way the Israeli negotiators and Palestinian negotiators, especially those that negotiated the Geneva Accord, the way they envision Jerusalem would be basically what is already Israeli, where the citizens are living, or even the religious sites would remain under the auspices of Israel. What's already Palestinian would remain under the auspices of the Palestinians and a new state. So, of course, the Wailing Wall, for example, that would be Israel. So,
and that's what Clinton proposed in the Clinton proposals after Camp David.
Yeah.
So that's why when you say East Jerusalem, I think you have to be careful, because if you say that without specifying, there's certainly some Jews that think that they have to give up their holy sites. And the answer seems to me that Christians should have their holy sites, Muslims should have theirs, and Jews should have theirs.
And what's important here, Mark and Joel, once again, is that the point that Joel's making with his rally, which in a second I'm going to have him talk about it, and so we've got to talk about WPFW again, but the point is that even sitting here talking about it, you know, even if they said we'll agree on everything and then we'll work on these Jerusalem,
work on Jerusalem.
You know, what everything else we'll sign on, whatever the case may be, that the point Joel's making is that grass, the people at the bottom, the grassroots, the people who are really the ones suffering, the everyday person who doesn't go to sleep every night and feel comfortable, who doesn't wake up every morning and feel that everything's, you know, that things are okay, that you create a moral imperative with a grassroots movement, and you push the people at the top to do what we're doing, to talk it out, to come to some kind of a settlement, and whatever it may be, to come to some kind of settlement that they can sign off and walk away, because they feel that the people at the bottom are saying, you're going to have to do it.
And one of the best ways to do this, and I think Joel's going to agree with me on this, some of the best way to do things is some of these, they have Seeds of Peace and other programs where Israeli kids and Arab-Palestinian kids get together and they break bread together and they go to a movie or whatever and they talk together. And just getting people to, because there's so much vilification of the other, Israel towards our Palestinians, Palestinians toward Israel. And if they would sit down together and talk and eat and the kids were to have fun together, I really think that we can build up a new society where the old people who maybe take their disagreements to their death go out of the way and people understand they can live with each other. And once there's that basic trust there, it's a lot easier to get to.
Well, let's talk about that, but which brings us back to Joel's event that I want him to talk about, and we can tell our listeners, so, you know, hopefully some of them will show up. And I think what Mark is saying is great, but I think what Joel is doing is more pointed in that he's saying that's good and that's what people need to do. But what we're going to do is bring people together for rallies for peace so we can show people, instead of, you know, discussing this is what people should do, we're actually going to do it so people can look and see we've got Palestinians, we've got Jews, we've got African Americans, we've got Latinos, we've got all these people here together saying, you know, we're all the same. Tell us about your rally again, Joel, and why our listeners would want to be there.
And let me make it clear, too, that many of the organizations that are sponsoring the rally, I would say they agree with the idea. They definitely support the president's ideas of a two-state solution and land swaps, et cetera. But this rally is not a policy rally as much as it is a rally for and a candlelight vigil for an end of the conflict, which has gone on for over 80 years. It's tragic. These are two wonderful people and two wonderful cultures, and there's so many people on the ground who are working for peace, Palestinians and Israelis. We're going to highlight them at the rally. It starts at 5:30, ends about 8 o'clock. It'll be at Lafayette Park.
And Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary is going to perform, correct?
Yeah, Peter, I mean, this guy is
a legend.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
Right. A legend.
Peter Paul Mary, right? Peter Yarrow is a legendary folk singer and peace activist. But we also have Hassam Aramon and Moby Damlin, who are leading Israeli Palestinian peace leaders. They'll speak at about 5:40. They both have been featured in documentaries which depict different families who've been affected by the violence between Israelis and Palestinians. They both lost children in the conflict, and they're dedicating their lives to the cause of peace. Unfortunately, we don't really lift them up in the American media. We don't really know about the peace movement in Israel, and we're going to lift them up. We're in solidarity with those Palestinians and Israelis. It's not so popular, by the way, if you're an Israeli or a Palestinian working for peace. And then the candlelight vigil and the concert, of course, with Peter Yarrow is going to cap it off. But we also have Makua Ray, who I think one of the great Washington, D.C. talent. He's an R&B vocalist. This guy has unified people across the globe, but he sounds a lot like John Legend. He'll be performing as well. But the quality of speakers, we have a professor, Sahar Kamis, who's Egyptian Muslim, will be talking about. A university professor at University of Maryland will be speaking. We've got, we're going to blow the shofar. We have a rabbi who's going to speak about, you know, the need for peace. So I don't think we've ever had this kind of rally.
And it's 5:30 Tuesday.
We need people to show up.
It was 5:30 Tuesday, Lafayette Park, next to the White House. Right. Well, before we go to break real quick, and then after break, we're going to talk about it some more. Right now, for those of you who didn't know it, and Joel's still on there, I guess. For those of you who didn't know it, WPFW is a community radio station. We do not take money from corporations. That's why we can bring Joel on here and say, Joel, you know, you got a peace rally for peace. Whatever you have to say, we're not going to say, don't say this. That's that's when we can bring people on and have people say what they want and have the kind of frank discussions that you really can't get in the media, because a lot of people have various factions on all sides and pressures they have to worry about. We don't have to worry about that here at WPFW. And we need to stay on the air. And we got some good things going on. And let me tell you about one of them. Saturday, October 12th, at the Safari Cafe, 4306 Georgia Avenue, we're going to have an evening. It's an intimate evening celebrating the 36th year of PFW. We're going to have internationally acclaimed author and motivational speaker Willie Jolly and jazz diva Janine Gilbert Carter, and of course you. Now we're asking for $89.
It's 7 o'clock. Yeah, I don't know if you announced it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's seven p.m. We're only going to have 100 people, so there'll be room to, you know, have fun and mill around and talk or whatever, dance. $89.30 for a pair of tickets, or $50 each for a ticket. And what we're asking is that, of course, $89.30 for a pair of tickets, but what we're asking for those who can, to donate whatever you can. I mean, if it's two, if it's $250, if it's $300, anything you can.
We're trying to raise $10,000.
We're trying to raise $10,000, and $89.30 for a pair of tickets isn't going to get it done. But we're certainly happy to take that $89.50. We're happy if you donate that. Don't forget, when you donate stuff to WPFW, it's tax deductible. You're going to get the letter from us. It's not like we're saying give us money and you don't get anything out of it. Number one, you get a wonderful evening with an internationally renowned author and motivational speaker.
And it's an intimate evening. There's only 100 people allowed in. And by the way, more than half the tickets are sold already. So you really better hurry and dial in 202-588-9739. But there's only 100 tickets. So here's a chance to actually talk to Willie Jolly, talk to Janine Gilbert Carter, and really have a nice, you know, it's not like this huge ballroom out there.
And talk
it's
to some other
100 people max.
Yeah, and talk to some other WPFW listeners, because one thing I found going to events and when we did a live show is it's a unique experience to you know, spend time with WPFW listeners. You get a lot of brilliant people, a lot of very knowledgeable people. You get a lot of people who are into the arts or into politics, and there's always wonderful conversation. So the number, 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739.
There are other gifts as well. I don't know if you want to read some of those out, Garland. I mean, for $35, you get to be a member. But there's all kinds of things if you're interested in. You can get, for example, I know that there's a DVD of
Martin Luther King?
Martin Luther King. It's a film documentary. It's a two DVD set for $150 donation. And that's a filmed record from Montgomery to Memphis. It was originally screened for one night only in 1970. So this is really an extraordinary gift. For $100, is The Power of Soul with James Brown. There's a whole bunch of different gifts you can ask about if you call in.
202-588-9739. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Mark Levine and Joel Siegel and you on WPFW 89.3 FM, Washington, D.C. Good evening and welcome back. Well, that was a quick break. You're listening to Garland Nixon and Mark Levine here on 89.3. Well, we took a quick break because we got important things to talk about here. We got big things going on. WPFW has a great event. Don't forget, Saturday, October 12th at the Safari Cafe, 4306 Georgia Avenue. Willie Jolly and jazz diva Janine Gilbert Carter. It's going to be it's going to be a great event. $89.30 for a pair of tickets. It's already half of the tickets are gone. So 202-588-9739 to be a part of it. And also, don't forget, if you're not going, maybe you're not in town or whatever, certainly I ask you to support News Views to help me keep Mark and I here with
our controversial topics.
Yes, and able to bring and you know, I mean, some breaking news, scooping the Marissa Alexander.
Yeah, we scooped the whole national media on that one.
Yeah, so we're going to be here and having people like Joel Siegel, who've been in Congress, who've worked with various groups, who've worked worked with grassroots organizing and to talk to us about his event, which is Tuesday at 5:30, and it's in Lafayette Park right in front of the White House there. And they're going to have Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary. Look, if you're like one of the ponytailed hippies of the 60s and 70s.
How old is he now, Peter Yarrow? I don't know.
I don't know, but 70s, if you remember 70s? Peter, Paul, and Mary, 60s. You got to come there just to see Peter Yarrow.
Yeah, I mean, that truly is a legend.
Yeah, so that's going to be awesome. And you're going to have Palestinians, and you're going to have Jews, and you're going to have other people of various ethnicities there together saying, we want peace. Joel, let me ask you, you know, the issue of a grassroots movement. There are a lot of people who hear the term grassroots movement. Because you've worked in the Congress and because you've seen how it affects members of Congress, talk to us about how, and you're familiar with, you know, you worked in a grassroots movement to make health care happen and various other things, and you've studied the civil rights movement. Talk to us about a grassroots movement, how it works, and why it has such a powerful effect in, you know, in this instance, why you believe it'll have such a powerful effect on Middle East peace.
That's an excellent question. You know, the WPFW is very lucky to have you, Garland, and you, Mark, because you probably asked some of the most insightful questions and creative questions and provocative questions of anyone I've heard on TV or radio. So I think you both are treasures. I really mean that. Well, I think if you look at the history of progressive change.
Thank you, by the way. That's very nice.
Oh, no, I mean that. If you look at the history of progressive change, whether it was getting out of Vietnam or women's rights or civil rights or, getting democracy in Poland or ending apartheid in South Africa. The universal healthcare movement was definitely a very recent movement, which led to at least the beginning of a universal single payer system. You look at the young Hispanic movement, the Dreamers, coalesced together over the last several years and have been able to take immigration reform to a whole other level that, really the odds were so against them, but it shows you the power of when you have sophisticated and coordinated and well-funded grassroots organizing, then my experience that within the United States is anything that I've worked on where there was a powerful coalition and that there was like a beloved community, and it was focused both inside and outside of either Congress or the White House, it took time, but we had victory. We won. The universal health care legislation, that bill being passed, was only because there was activism in hundreds of cities across the country. We had labor unions involved. We had faith groups. We had doctors, nurses. We had leadership from President Obama, who without the president, it wouldn't have ever gotten passed. It's not exactly what we wanted. We wanted a single-payer bill. But I think Martin Luther King taught us the importance of grassroots, and Gandhi and Mandela. And the reason why it's so important with Middle East peace is I think the reason why there has not been a peace agreement signed is because there has been a completely non-coordinated, non-structured, cohesive, progressive grassroots movement for peace in the Middle East. You can never allow elected officials on their own to decide the fate of peoples. It just won't work. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's why you got to have civil society. Moral pressure has to be relentless. It has to be on the streets and in the suites, and that's what we are doing. And there's a lot of groups like J Street is having their national conference this weekend. J Street is the new progressive, two-state solution, kind of pro-Israel, pro-Palestinian state movement. There's thousands of Jewish people now who believe in this cause that are checking the kind of hardliner Jewish organizations in the past who worked against peace and got rid of members of Congress who were opposed to peace. But it's a new day, and there's a national conversation and a struggle within the Jewish community on this issue. It's dividing us, but it's also uniting a lot of Jewish people who heretofore were very silent on this issue.
As are Mark and I. So we just sat there, you know. But, yeah, well, I think it's, you know, I think it's wonderful. And, you know, I'm a believer because there are people who don't believe, you know, who look at various things and say, you know, oh, this is never going to happen. And, you know, in my opinion, I mean, we saw, you know, being a black person and seeing and you know, really focusing in on something that's special to me, and that's the civil rights movement. When I look at that and I look at people who had no money, who had no political, you know, they didn't have political power, they didn't have economic power. The only thing they had was belief and faith that they could make a change. And the only thing they could do was grassroots because they didn't have the financial or political power. The only thing they could do was go to the street and walk around and march and say, we want things a different way. And that changed the way the way this country is. If you look at in 2004. Was it 04? What was the big gay marriage fear from the Bush administration? Was that 04?
Yeah, it was 04.
04. In 04, the Bush administration and the Republicans went around and said, oh, my gosh, gay marriage is going to destroy, you know, the world as it is.
30-odd states passed constitutional amendments to prevent
it. And they used that, the gay marriage, as leverage to scare everybody. The gay people were going to run off with everybody, and they were going to kill us all. And to some extent, there are those who argue that they had some success using that. A few years later, most of the country says, we don't really care who gets married. You know, it's gone from gay marriage to it's just marriage.
It's got to the point where, I don't know if you heard this recently, and it's a little off topic, but they had Barilla Pasta.
Yeah, an Italian company.
Right, yeah. That's actually a pretty large, I mean, check your pasta. You might well find it in your kitchen. It's very popular. Anyway, the guy, they was asked why he didn't have any gay people on his commercials, and he said, well, we sort of only have traditional families on our commercials. We don't have gay people. Well, now gay people and people who believe in fairness for everyone are boycotting Barilla Pasta, and they're apologizing pretty darn quick. I don't think they've given a complete apology yet, but I'm not going to buy Barilla Pasta anymore. So it just shows you the power of you come on there like WPFW, you talk about these things, and people listen and make
people,
a difference.
Just like with the civil rights movement, just like with so many other things, just like with women's suffrage, people would say, you know, oh, this is never going to happen. And with this,
like you
this,
talk about Walmart all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, and even though that bill didn't pass, we got close. It passed. Yeah. It passed the D.C. City Council. The mayor vetoed.
But it's going to pass somewhere.
They didn't overrule the veto. Yeah. But you know, D.C. can change it.
Yeah,
it's elected officials.
Yeah.
But that's just give you an example of the kind of things we do on WPFW. Garland, you've been hitting Walmart. Well, I don't know for years now.
Yeah, I've been letting that.
We've probably done 3 dozen shows on Walmart talking about the fact that you're not going to hear on the mainstream radio, but talking about the fact that when Walmart comes to town, it actually costs local governments more because they have to provide more welfare payments because more health care, more Medicaid, because the people who work at Walmart don't get these benefits. This is the kind of story that you can tell on WPFW that you can't tell on ABC Radio or CBS Radio or so forth.
And I circle this all back to Joel, to the issue of Israel and Palestine, because there are those who say, oh my gosh, it's been, you know, 80 years, whatever, nothing's going to change. And with the issues that we were talking about, there can be long periods of time where nothing moves. And in a short period of 4 or 5 years with the right backing, with the right people, with the right grassroots movement. And the fact is that the average Israeli and the average Palestinian just really wants to live their life in a peaceful manner. If they get together, as you're working on with this, and say to their leaders, look, guys, you know, you got to do something. We just want to live our life in a peaceful manner. That is going to be the pressure needed, and it can change. Things can change quickly.
I think people are afraid on that issue. I know that many Israelis were very pro land for peace until Israel gave up the entire Gaza Strip, and then a terrorist group Hamas took over and then been lobbing rockets into Israel, and you know, kids have to run into bomb shelters all the time, and so they're saying, you know, when we give up land, we get war. And so I think there are a lot of Israelis that are scared. I think there are a lot of Palestinians that are scared.
We're going to talk about PFW for a second, and I'm going to get back to Joel. Joel, I want to talk to you about the Palestinian Authority and Hamas and the moderate wing versus the more extreme wing of the Palestinian peoples. That's important for people to understand and how that plays into this conflict. But first, something much more important, and that is WPFW. And Joel, I understand you have been, as I know, you've been listening to WPFW for years. Can you talk a little bit about the station from a person who's not a programmer here and who listens from the outside and who is in Congress and knows that there are members of Congress that listen to PFW?
I've been in Charlotte, North Carolina, helping a family member who became sick, and our country doesn't provide housing and food for people who are sick and disabled because
That's
the
true.
Social Security benefit is too small. So I'm here in Charlotte, North Carolina, helping a family member so he can have housing. And I just want to throw it in there. We need a new Social Security system. It's really social insecurity. As I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, there is nothing that resembles WPFW.
I'm sure.
In this city, and I think what happens in Washington is because it's a fairly progressive city, probably next to New York, maybe, and Chicago and San Francisco, the most liberal city in America, it could be taken for granted. But it shouldn't be. It really is a treasure. I wish I could, you know, wake up in the morning, turn on WPFW in Charlotte, North Carolina, but unfortunately when I turn on the radio, it's either pop music,
or Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, some right-wing talk show host.
Or Rush Limbaugh, yeah, right. Or right-wing, you know, the talk show host. And I'm not saying that there's not progressive forces in Charlotte. There are, but...
They're not on the radio, though, are they, Joel?
And of course, as you know, Joel, those who are out of town, you can also, you know, you can do WPFW.org and listen. But you know, a lot of people don't have a computer. They're sitting right in speakers right next to their bed, so you've got to be...
You can do it on your iPhone, though. You can do it on your smartphone.
That's right. You can do it on your smartphone.
It plays just fine on your smartphone.
So WPFW.org. But as Joel was saying, you know, it's important. And outside of this area where you have it, you know, you don't... There's the old saying, fish discover water last. You know, you don't know what you have so good until it's not around, or you're not in an area where you have it. So let me give you the number, 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. And it's very easy. You can certainly go online and contribute. If you're in your car somewhere driving around, it's very easy. Pull over in a safe spot, 202-588-9739. You could pull out your credit cards, whether it's Visa, whether it's American Express, Discover. Call 202-588-9739.
If you forget the number, it's easy. It's just 202-588-WPFW.
That's right.
So that's all I have to remember. It's 588. It's all you have to remember, because you'll remember 202, and you'll remember WPFW.
Yeah, and it's very easy to help keep us on the air. No, and don't forget, the reason you can get what you can get, what you get on WPFW that you don't get anywhere else, is because we need you to help, because you help us, because you keep us on the air. And you can be a member. You can $35, and you can be a member. You can be a voting member. You can run for the board. You can, you know, do whatever you want to do. You can be a part. You can't do that at, you know, NBC, ABC, whatever mixed station you want to join. But you can do that on WPFW.
You know, I was just thinking, because Obamacare is finally going to start October 1st. Parts on October 1st, parts next January. And, of course, we were on the air, Garland, you and me, all during the process and all during...
And Joel was on the air.
We were on the air with Joel, talking about universal care, talking about Medicare for All, talking about Obamacare as better than what we currently have, but not as good as universal care, and going through all the details. And today, there's so much misinformation about the Affordable Care Act. But that was something that we provided. We provided details on immigration reform. We provided details on gun bills and specifically what they do and how we could help try to get the guns out of the hands of criminals. We've talked about so many different things, from Middle East peace to whether or not we should do anything in Syria, to the problems of Walmart, to civil rights, just thinking about all the issues. Trayvon Martin, we spent a lot of time. So these are issues that you're just not going to get the same view from a Rush Limbaugh show.
Station you call, they're going to have some pressure from some direction directing what they can and generally what they can't say. Not so much what they can, but what they can't say, is the pressure is going to be there. It's not there at WPFW, because you are there.
Because all we have is you.
That's it. Yeah,
that's why we need you. All we got is you. We don't have the corporations. We don't have the Koch brothers. Yeah. They're buying out all the other media that exists.
Right. They're trying to shut us down. So 202-588-WPFW. And I would appreciate if you could mention that your donations in support of News Views and help keep us on the air. Okay, Joel. Well, I digress.
I want to just, if I can, you know, I grew up in the 70s and the 80s and the 60s as an activist, and there's a kind of a cynicism, though, I've noticed in Washington that is a little bit different than a lot of other cities I've worked in. And if you use the word peace rally, they go, oh, a peace rally, you know, that's not going to do any good. Well, ours is a peace rally. It's also a peace and justice rally. It's a just peace rally. And What people have to understand is that unless the grassroots, who are progressive, who really believe there should be a Palestinian state and the Palestinian people deserve, you know, an end to an occupation and Israelis deserve to live in security, if the media does not see that we're in support of this, and if the Obama administration doesn't see it, or you know, Netanyahu doesn't see it, the Prime Minister of Israel, then this peace process could disintegrate quickly.
And right.
What happens is, if a president finds that they're not going to be successful, for example, if Obama sees that negotiations aren't really going that well, and it's, you know, there's violence happening in Palestine or Israel because of it, they can walk away from the table, and we don't want that to happen. So the reason why people really do need to come out on October the 1st, 5:30 to 8 p.m., Lafayette Park, East Quadrant, north of the White House, is to show that they really believe that peace is possible between Israel and Palestine, because there's a lot of people who are enemies of peace. They're making big money by keeping everybody divided.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. They're making big bucks. And it's time for this to end. And when, if people ask the question, well, why should I care about Israel? Why should I care about Palestine? It is one of the major reasons why there's global terrorism. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the major reasons why radical jihadists will use terror as a tactic to get media, is to say, you know what, America supports Israel. Israel occupies Palestinians. Can you give us, you know, $500,000 to go bomb that building or that train in London? And we would literally have world peace, maybe for the first time ever, if this conflict is resolved.
Well, I don't know that I'd go that far.
And think about this also. You know,
I'm sorry. The only reason why I'm saying this, when I say world peace, what I mean is, if you look at regional conflict where there's one country at war with several other countries, other than Israel versus the Muslim countries and Arab countries, it is not a state of hostility. When I say world peace, I don't mean all of a sudden there's going to be peace all over the world.
Well, I think there are other conflicts still that have to be resolved. The Sunni-Shia conflict, the Syria is falling apart, between the conflict between Saudi Arabia and Iran. I'm all for peace and I'm all for a two-state solution, but I don't want to, you know, each part helps.
Well,
each
I know, I'll say this, that, you know, in the Middle East, if you are able to resolve the Israel-Palestine, you know, issue, then that changes the dynamic with Iran immediately, you know, with the relationship between the Iranians and the Palestinians. And also, you know, you've got a lot of people who you've got organizations that use this as a recruiting tool. They use it
true.
As a reason for bombing someone.
About that.
People who don't even like the Palestinians, who, you know, don't
that's
even
true.
Like their particular, don't who don't like the Shiites, who consider them apostates, hate Iran, but then they'll go bomb somebody and say, oh, well, we did it for the Palestinians, when they don't even like them. So, you know, it takes away that reason, that excuse for those who want to get involved in violence in the first place. It changes the dynamic so that the conflict, I think it takes that, what part of the world, Russia or whatever, is supporting Syria or an Islamic country? What part of the world, whether it's the U.S. or you know, one of the Western countries that's seen as supporting Israel? It takes away that dynamic of them versus us to a huge extent, and I think it changes the playing field geopolitically enough in the Middle East that things, I think you can decrease terrorism.
I think at the end of the day that peace should be for the Israelis and the Palestinians, and it's nice to have the rest of the world come in and lend a hand. And I think, frankly, there are many things the United States can do to help that happen. But at the end of the day, until you have Palestinians willing to accept that Israel is a Jewish state, it's always going to exist, they're not going to destroy it, they're not going to take over all of Israel, and you have Jews in Israel willing to accept a Palestinian state, it's going to exist, it's on the West Bank, it'll hopefully not be you know, militarily armed and attacking Israel, but if they're willing to live in peace, I think that the vast majority of both peoples are willing to accept the other state living in peace. But because there's so much distrust among the peoples, there's not a solution. And that's why I think grassroots movements are really good, because they get people working together, seeing that the other side is not a demon. There may be differences of opinion, but that if people can break bread together, then eventually they can make peace together.
Joel. Sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
The one of the reasons why this is an important discussion is oftentimes, especially in the Jewish community, I used to have arguments with my mother or my brother. I was for a Palestinian state at age 20. I studied the history of the conflict, and I'm like, my God, the Palestinians really have suffered also, and they deserve a state. And where this is an important, I think, moment, especially with Mark and I, is that's the ability to have a discussion on Israel-Palestine without it blowing up, without there being finger-pointing, without it being incendiary to the point where it can't be discussed rationally. My view is that if Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, woke up tomorrow morning and met with President Abbas and said, you know what, we've looked at the Arab Peace Initiative. We've looked at your plan. It is very moderate. It is very fair. I'm going to sign this document, this peace agreement. We're going to enforce it. We're going to make sure that there is security for both of our peoples. Because remember, in the West Bank, which is the Palestinian Authority, right, that's who rules, they are in a power struggle with Hamas.
Right.
So the Israelis and the Palestinians are right now on the West Bank and Israel are looking at each other as possible allies in a situation where there are some dangerous foes around them. So they're seeing that they've gotten more in common now than they did before. In fact, the Palestinian Authority works hand in hand with the Israeli military security apparatus to make sure that there's not terrorist attacks against Israel. A lot of Jewish people don't know this. Therefore, you want to bolster the moderates. What happened with Hamas when Ariel Sharon left the Gaza Strip? He didn't do it with any kind of internationally supervised agreement. There was no what's called status of forces agreement.
That's why Israel's not leaving the West Bank today.
Yeah, there should have been security agreements for Israel. Actually, Israel would be 1,000 times safer under a two-state solution because it would be internationally supervised. You'd have Palestinians who aren't angry and people out of jail and Israelis safer.
I hate to cut things short, Joel, but I hear our board operator, Bill Witherspoon, over there, and he is in charge of everything. And I hear Shaz in the background, El Camino playing. I hear some good music, and that means that we're going to give way to a very, very good show that's coming on next.
Let's encourage people, though, one more time to give to WPFW, 202-588-9739. Whether you agree with Garland or me or Joel or any of the other issues that we have, this is the place for discussion.
That's
it. Place for free discussion, and that doesn't happen all too often.
Thanks a lot, Joel. And that's Tuesday at 5:30, Lafayette Park in front of the White House. There'll be people, Israeli speakers, Jewish speakers, Palestinian speakers. There'll be a number of people there, and they're talking about peace, and we need some people to show up. And I'll be there. I will show. So 202-588-9739.
And we're on every Friday at 6 p.m. News Views. You can catch Garland and me talking about the issues of the day. We'll see if the government is still working next week.
Yep. And let me say this. If there's some, I'm sure there's someone out there that has $1,000. I'm sure we've got a wealthy sponsor somewhere that's got $1,000 that's just not going to bother them. They got plenty of money and they want to see PFW stay on. They listen to Mark and I on News Use. They enjoy the program. And we would appreciate if you would call 202-588-9739, 202-588. We'll take whatever, but $1,000 would be really be nice. It would really be great for our show, and we'd appreciate it. Mark, if they want to get in touch with you?
Go to my website, marklevinetalk.com. That's also my Twitter name, Mark Levine Talk, MarkLevineTalk. Go ahead and tweet at me, agree or disagree. I'd love to hear from you.
All right, and listen to the show. That'll be up pretty soon, won't it? On there?
Yeah, also, I'm going to be on Fox this Sunday at 1 o'clock.
The bad
station. I'm going to be on Channel 8 tonight at 8 p.m., so you can watch me debate some Republican on
You'll be on
Channel
Fox
8.
National News, right?
Fox National and Channel 8 Local. Channel 8 Local tonight at 8.
I want to see Mark Levine on Fox.
Fox National Sunday about 1:30 or so.
And if you want to get in touch with me, garlandin@gmail.com, on Twitter, @GarlandNixon. It's garlandin@gmail.com, @GarlandNixon on Facebook. Me and Bill Witherspoon's over there. Making things happening. He's taking us out with some Shaz. And Robin's Place is next, and you're going to hear some good music. I know you've heard it every week, and you love it. I certainly do. I listen to it on the way back up the road.
Me too.
Robin's Place next on WPFW 89.3 FM, Washington, D.C.